We started off with a pretty meaningful resource base, so we've got a good start. 168 million ounces of silver equivalent is our starting point, and we plan to grow. As we just announced today, we just launched our drilling campaign in Alaska, so fully funded program. This season, the goal really is to grow that resource. And obviously we want to get bigger faster. And then we have a pending merger with Suma Silver, which we can talk about. Again, kind of leapfrogs us up the curve.
Gary Thompson, Silver 47, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, it was really good to see you. And a lot has happened in the last, 6 months since we last talked. Oh, and let me, for all of our viewers and listeners, we have a ton. I want all of them to know that I am, as of yet, not an investor in Silver 47. That will more than likely soon be changing after this video has dropped. And also, Silver 47 is a recent sponsor to naturalresourcestocks.net. So, Gary, walk me through first an overview of the company. Any new investors? What are they getting into? What are they looking at when they're starting to look at you?
Yeah, so Silver 47 Exploration Corp. It's actually a newly listed company. We only started trading back in November 24. So it's been an interesting ride. And I think the thing to think about for Silver 47 is that we are building silver ounces in the ground. We started off with a pretty meaningful resource base, so we've got a good start. 168 million ounces of silver equivalent is our starting point, and we plan to grow. As we just announced today, we just launched our drilling campaign in Alaska, so fully funded program. This season, the goal really is to grow that resource. And obviously we want to get bigger faster. And then we have a pending merger with Suma Silver, which we can talk about. Again, kind of leapfrogs us up the curve. So high grade silver ounces in the U.S., really a U.S. focus premier silver player in the making.
Yeah, so let's walk back a little bit. How many ounces of silver do you have now? I want to say it's in Red Mountain.
Yeah, Red Mountain. Well, the actual silver ounces is about 36 million ounces of silver in Red Mountain, combined with just over a couple hundred thousand ounces of gold. I mean, it's a classic polymetallic VMS deposit. So you get a whole host of minerals and metals with the gold and silver, like copper, zinc, lead. And we're also finding critical minerals like antimony and gallium, which are not currently in the resource. So we use a silver equivalent just because it's easier to simplify commodities into one metal. But it's a good value add polymetallic project that, I like to look at these things like the base metals will pay for the mine and the precious metals, will be the gravy, if you will.
Yeah, got it. Still, if you look at a silver equivalent, if you combine that, that's a lot of mineral. That's a lot of metal, if you would. So,
absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of metal. And I think with the plan for this year, like I said, we'll drill up the two main resource areas. They're open to expansion, and we plan to come to market with a new stated resource either at the end of this season or early 26.
Okay. So let me ask you a little bit about the infrastructure there, because a lot of what's going into building a mine is infrastructure and getting it off the ground. How close are you to roads or railway, or what's the plan there? And is there a mill in the area?
There's no mill for this type of material. So ultimately, we're likely going to have to build our own concentrator on site. If you look at our block, we've got a very large mineral claim holdings. Basically, we have our own district, 620 square kilometer block, 60 kilometer trend of prospective geology. And if you look from the west end of our claim block, further west is about 30 kilometers to a rail line. There's a rail line that runs from Fairbanks down to Anchorage, which is a deep water port. There's a highway and power out there. So on the site right now, we've been utilizing winter roads to bring in supplies and fuel in the winter months. We've got a number of airstrips that we've been looking at and using. Ultimately, as we advance this thing, there's going to be some more infrastructure work to be done. But, you know, in the state of Alaska, there's a sovereign fund called ADA, Alaska Export Development Authority, that will provide funding for infrastructure builds to the benefit of Alaska. And so we're, you know, we've got that sort of opportunity as we advance. And certainly with the critical minerals like antimony and gallium, which have seen dramatic share price increases over the last year, we're looking to get some metallurgical work on those commodities, because we think those are meaningful value add to the project that's not actually in the resource. And that will also potentially provide some funding out of the U.S. government. As you probably know, the Department of Energy, Department of Defense are providing funding for exploration development projects to help shore up the supply chain of these much needed critical and strategic minerals.
Yeah, they are. They really are. And that's, I would say, the cherry on top, if you would. And that's really saying it very, very lightly, because I think it's a lot of value added, if you would. And it certainly speeds up permitting. Speaking of which, talk to me, is this on federal lands, state lands up in Alaska, or is it on tribal lands?
State managed lands in Alaska.
That's music to my ears. I'm interrupting you. That's music to my ears. I'm from Alaska. I don't know if you know this. And also I'm an investor in Contango Ore. I'm very friendly with Rick Van Nieuwenhuyzen. And I'm very familiar, well, not as familiar as you, but I'm familiar with the permitting process. If you're on state lands, oh gosh, that makes it so much easier to get things approved.
Yeah, big, big difference. And in fact, Contango is not that far from the Red Mountain. They're up to the northeast of us. Obviously, they go up to Fairbanks, and we would ultimately get our product or concentrate out to Anchorage is ultimately, I think, where we would go with it.
Could you use the mill that they're using? I believe it's Kinross.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, we're dealing with the polymetallic ore, so we're going to, and that's some work that we need to do to understand. We're going to do some more metallurgical work this year, not only on the critical minerals, but, you know, there has been a fair amount of met work done. We're getting 70 to 90% recoveries already from the previous operators. So obviously we'll look to try and improve on that and optimize those recoveries. And, you know, we need to understand that a bit more as we move into a development. Like, we're still exploration here. We need to get, we need to beef up the tons a bit. And then we do have visibility here in the short and medium term to move this into a PEA and then ultimately into a development story as we grow the thing ultimately.
Yeah, let's talk about growth here. So you already have a lot of metal here, but you also have a lot of land. What's the potential for growth that would really take this to the next level, to a tier one asset?
Well, I think it's just, drilling. There's no shortage of targets. We have such a large land package. Like I say, we have a district play. One thing we know about these VMS deposits is that they do form in clusters. They form in these chains, if you will. And I use the analog, you know, string of pearls, just by the nature of how these things form. So we're doing work right now. We got boots on the ground. We announced we just started drilling. So we've got some geologists out there looking at other targets, and just kind of ranking them on, okay, these ones need to get drilled, and coming up with, you know, some new discovery potential there. So we think there's lots of opportunity to grow there. Most of the dollars to date from the previous operators have been spent on two main areas, Dry Creek and West Tundra Flats, are where most of the resources currently reside. And we're going to grow those, but obviously look for, you know, to step out of that. And look, in this business, there's two ways to grow, right? It's through the drill bit and through M&A. And that's part of the rationale for us to combine forces with Suma Silver. Suma Silver has meaningful ounces they put into category earlier this year in New Mexico in a project called Mogollon, and then in Nevada in a project called Hughes. So, you know, on a combined pro forma basis, we're We're something like 236 million ounces of silver equivalent, and then another 10 million ounces of it inferred. Indicated 10 million indicated and 236 million inferred category on a pro forma basis on a combined company here. And that transaction is anticipated to close around the end of July.
Yeah, if you could comment about that, because I met with the Sumas Silver down here in Atlanta. This was, I want to say, in April, mid-April, if you would. And I was really shocked, but I guess I shouldn't have been. I really, really love their project, but comment to me how they bring added value to coming together. Is it just basically combining all of the assets, or what made that happen?
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, it's just getting bigger faster, right? Like I said, there's two ways to grow, and it's through the drill bit and through M&A. And, you know, on a combined basis, we're just a stronger, bigger company. And bigger is better for access to capital. And we're trying to attract more institutional names to the company. And, I think one of the attractive things that this combination brings is we've got this fairly advanced stage project in Alaska, and then we can shift gears in the off season. So we can work like from now till October, when the snow chases us out of Alaska. We can move into the lower 48, into Nevada or New Mexico. So it provides a good year round news flow, and just jurisdictional favorability in the U.S. I think right now, with the all the things we're seeing with the critical mineral supply, the U.S. Pushing hard on advancing critical mineral projects, we think the U.S. is one of the best places to be in the world for mine development, and they're fast tracking these projects. So we're pretty excited to be looking to build a premier silver company in the U.S. And if you look at the silver space, as you probably know, there's a pretty finite list of silver miners and a finite list of silver explorer developers. So it's not a big landscape. And I think if you add on the grade, we're in that sort of 300 to 400 gram per ton silver equivalent grade, which is quite high. And so we can see how we start to move up ahead of the pack, if you will, on a pro forma basis. We're going to have a good solid resource base, good high grades in a great jurisdiction. I think it ticks a lot of boxes for, the investor looking for exposure into silver names.
Yeah, I took a step back, it just made a lot of sense, if you would, even though I was initially just shocked, but it made a lot of sense, if you would, just really where silver's going. And as you mentioned, critical minerals. Yeah, it just made a lot of sense. So hopefully that gets completed without any hitches in July, as you mentioned, towards the end of July. Talk a little bit about your share structure here, how much cash you have in the bank. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so Silver 47 has 70 million shares outstanding right now on a basic basis. On a combined basis with Suma, on a pro forma, will be, I guess if you include the 6.9 million that just announced, which is held in trust until the closing, that'll put us on a pro forma basis somewhere around 136 million shares outstanding.
That is tight.
Yeah, pretty tight. And, we'll have something in a neighborhood of 15 million cash on a combined basis.
Excellent. Well, that cash in the bank, then, when you combine it all, is that enough to accomplish the goals of drilling out the resource and proving the value of the resources?
Well, that'll get us through this year for sure. I mean, we're planning to be fairly aggressive on the drill bit. So we hope to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 7,000 to 8,000 meters out of the season. We hope that's going to be enough material that we can, the goal we really to come up with a new resource that starts with a 2. And then if it's close to that sort of 18 to 20 million ton mark, then we think that's enough to move it into a PEA based on those kind of grades. And obviously we'll see what the antimony and gallium might add to that, but just on the base metals and precious metals, we think there's enough material there to move that along. And then obviously, like I mentioned, we'll be shifting gears into the lower 48 into New Mexico or Nevada. And I haven't decided which one of those will see the budgets, but either one, I think, can offer a good torque, and certainly both have a great upside potential to advance.
Yeah, and they're both great jurisdictions, as is Alaska. So comment, you mentioned that you'll be drilling or you're currently drilling. What can investors and potential investors look for over the next, really until the end of the summer and really going through December? Just what can be expected? Meaning, what news are you going to drop? And really what I'm getting at, what's going to move the stock?
Well, I think just, part of the strategy is to flush out the precious metal part of the system. We know there's a lot of base metals there, but we want to focus a bit more on the precious metal side. So I think there's going to be a steady stream of news flow, and we anticipate some high silver and gold hits that, one of the things we're excited about is last year we tagged into a 15-gram gold hit, which is one of the best gold intercepts on the project to date. So we think there's opportunity to pull some surprises there. And just a lot of news flow on the drilling results between now and the balance of the year. I think that's the plan. And hopefully that met work will get kicked off here soon. So we'll have some updates on some new metallurgical data as well.
Got it. So I'll throw you a little bit of curveball here. We've had a good 2 week, well, I would say maybe longer. It's really been three or four month run in silver, but really it's gone what I would call almost parabolic in the last couple of weeks. Comment about that, or can you comment about that? And it's tricky, meaning projecting where you see this going, but why is that happening, and what are your expectations, if you can comment about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been anticipated for some time. I think the people that follow the space, most of the guys know that gold tends to lead the chart, which we've seen a huge run in gold. I mean, it's not always up, it's a rocky road, but we're seeing a tremendous move in gold, and there's a strong positive correlation with a silver price, a gold price. And I think this was anticipated that we would see this move. And in fact, I would go as far as to say that I think we're witnessing probably the biggest precious metal move that we'll witness in, for history. We'll see how that plays out, but to me, it looks like we're on a big trajectory upwards, and we're in for a fun ride here. And I think it's still early days on this breakout. I mean, I would expect to see north of $50 silver, but what I feel is to come is a sustained $50 to $70 silver, not a spike that we saw in 2011, the 1980s, and in the 70s. I think we're going to see a much more sustained precious metal price, both for silver and gold. And you're seeing the industrial demand for silver outpace the coins and the bullion and, the money supply part of the equation. The industrial demand for silver is going from 60 to 70 and probably up to 80%. Of the silver supply. So, there's just not enough silver around to, you can't run, how many years of deficit of silver can you run before the price starts moving? I think that's part of it all. There's a lot of factors, and it's a complex, equation there, but, obviously, we're in for a good ride, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. And that's also goes back to the merger that's happening with Suma. That just makes all the more sense if we have these highs, which I think we absolutely will. I agree with you that, which I think we will have in the silver price. So Gary, if people want to invest in you, how do they find you? What's your website, and what's your, where are you traded on, and what are your stock symbols?
Yeah. So silver47.ca is a website. You can follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter. In Canada, we trade AGA is the ticker on the TSX Venture. And on the OTCQB, the ticker is AGAF.
Excellent. Gary, looking forward to have you on again real soon to share the news that's coming.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye now.